Trend number one, business model innovation becomes the new strategic focus. When we think of innovation, we usually imagine a new product or service that didn't exist before, such as the laser printer, or a company that will step in and handle the payroll function for another firm. But in recent years, it has become just as important for a company to innovate around its business model in order to achieve lasting success. Clayton Christensen, along with his co-authors, published an article in the Harvard Business Review recently that described four interlocking elements that capture a business model's ability to create value and deliver it to the customer. The first is the value proposition. This means offering some way to help the customer to solve a problem or get a job done. The most successful value propositions arise when there is an important job to be done or a serious problem to solve, and when customers are not satisfied with the existing solutions. The second is the profit formula, which defines how the company plans to make money from the value proposition. This includes figuring out how price and volume will influence revenue, defining the costs to the company, defining how much profit the company will make on each sale, known as the margin, and determining how fast inventory and assets will have to turn over to achieve the volume of sales that's required to reach the profit goals. This last item is called the resource velocity. The correct way to work out the profit formula for a business model is to determine how much it will cost to deliver the value proposition and work backwards to figure out the costs, margins, economies of scale, and resource velocity needed for success. The third element in Christensen's scheme involves key resources. This refers to all the things you need to get the job done. This can include everything from your employees to the facilities, equipment, and technologies you need to build your product. Your brand is also a key resource. It's important to distinguish key resources from generic ones that do not create competitive advantage. The fourth element of the business model is embodied in your key processes. The processes may be the way operations are conducted or the way the company is managed. They can include training, manufacturing, sales and service, as well as the rules and culture of the company. To get a sense of how these elements interact, consider the value proposition offered by digital music players. A company called Diamond Multimedia introduced the first one, called the Rio, in 1998. 2 years later, a company called Best Data introduced its version, the Cable 64. Both offerings were adequate for the task of playing digital music files, and they were well-designed and good-looking. The trouble was that these were pure products and were not married to a winning business model. Enter Apple Computer, which introduced the iPod in 2003. Not only did it introduce an even cooler-looking digital music player, but it wrapped it up in a winning business model with the iTunes Store. It solved the key problems that the Rio and Cable 64 ignored. Where do you get the music? And how much will it cost? The answers, of course, were that with iTunes, the music is at your fingertips and it costs just 99 cents per song. Christensen likens this to the Gillette formula in reverse. Gillette introduced the safety razor with this business proposition. It would give you the razor almost for free, but then you'd have to buy the high-margin blades for it for the rest of your life. Apple gave away music through the low-margin iTunes system. But to get the full benefit of the system, you had to buy the high-margin iPod and preferably own an Apple computer as well, so that your iPod would automatically sync with your music collection. The two keys to the success of this formula were, first, it's the easiest and most convenient way of acquiring music in history, and second, customers who balk at spending $20 on a new CD won't bat an eye at spending 99 cents on a single tune, even if they do it over and over. When the iPod was introduced, Apple's capitalization was about $1 billion. Within 3 years, the iPod iTunes business was making $10 billion a year, providing half of Apple's revenue, and Apple's market capitalization had rocketed to $150 billion. That shows how powerful a business model can be. There was nothing really new about the iPod itself as a technology. Over and over again, we have seen how business models revolutionize industries. Walmart and Target completely changed the face of retailing. Discount airlines now represent more than half of the airline market. And business model innovation accounted for the success of 11 of the 27 new companies that entered the Fortune 500 list in the last 25 years. Yet surprisingly, according to the American Management Association, only 10% of the money invested in innovation goes toward reinventing the company's business model. This is despite the fact that half of all the executives surveyed by the Economist Intelligence Unit said that business model innovation is more important than innovations in products or services. Other surveys produced the same results. So, why aren't those executives acting on those beliefs? One trouble they have is that most executives don't really understand their own business models. Most business models simply evolved on their own, without a concerted effort or a plan. As a consequence, new business models are not likely to be considered, and if they are, they may seem undesirable at first glance. One way around that is to set aside the idea of business models and simply think about the job the customer has to do or the problem he wishes to solve. With an in-depth understanding of that, you can then devise a solution to that problem that you can provide at a profit. By using the four elements described earlier, you can create a new business model and then compare it to your existing model to see how radical the difference is and what changes will be needed to bring them into alignment. To do this, the Boston Consulting Group recommends answering the following 10 questions for your organization. First, what compromises does the customer have to make as a result of the existing business model? Second, what causes customers to defect? Put another way, why are some potential customers not using your product or service? Third, whose value proposition is better, yours or the competition's? Fourth, are there different business models growing successfully on the periphery of your industry? Fifth, how would a competitor use the vulnerabilities in your business model to steal your customers away? Sixth, are you actively involved in creating new business models? Seventh, are you prepared to execute a new business model, and what must you change to do so? Eighth, what do you need to know before you can make the decision to implement a new business model? Ninth, is there a consensus in the company that change is needed at this time? And tenth, who will lead the change to make sure the innovation isn't crushed by the status quo? However, it is not always necessary to create a new business model in order to succeed. Sometimes a new product works well within the existing model. Procter & Gamble has done this time and again with such products as the Swiffer mop and countless other household products that quickly come to seem indispensable to homemakers. It's only when the need arises to change all four elements of the business model that business model innovation becomes necessary. Given growing recognition that explicit business model innovation can deliver competitive advantage, we offer the following four forecasts for your consideration. First, because the nature of 21st century technology has changed the way business is and can be done, disruptive innovation will come to depend more and more on business model innovation. Inventing a new product, as we saw with the Rio Digital Music Player, will not be enough, simply because many of the new products that arise are just too complicated to succeed on their own. They must be presented to the customer as a complete package, as a turnkey operation with a minimum learning curve. Only the right business model can do that. Second, a great deal of the business model innovation that we'll see in the next few years will be aimed at addressing the very large groups of potential customers who at present are shut out of certain markets. For example, Tata Motors in India is addressing the millions of people who cannot afford conventional automobiles by offering the Nano, which costs just $2,500. This required a complete rethinking of the auto industry, from the designers and engineers to the dealers and sales force, and hence a completely new business model that can thrive on volume sales and low margins. Third, because new technologies are arising so rapidly and becoming commoditized just as quickly, companies that succeed will have to focus on business models that are aimed at getting the customer's job done better, faster, and cheaper than the competition, with the fewest compromises built into that model. The best opportunities will come in areas where this focus on the customer's job does not yet exist, or where the company has become obsessed with refining a product endlessly. FedEx is a good example of focusing on the job that the customer needs to get done, getting a package from one place to another. Before FedEx came on the scene, there were ways to ship something overnight, but they were awkward, expensive, and unreliable. Rather than concentrating on price or marketing, FedEx devised a foolproof system for overnight shipping, Although it was expensive compared with, say, the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx was an immediate success because it answered an unmet need that was wrapped in a business plan that guaranteed success. And fourth, look for a proliferation of low-end disruptors to threaten existing players in the wake of the recession. Certainly the Nano, if successful, will eat into the market share of the major players in the automobile industry. And in low-margin businesses like supermarkets, the existence of Aldi threatens the core customer base of the once-dominant companies such as Safeway. These low-end disruptors have not only required new business models to succeed, but have forced new business models on the legacy businesses that they disrupt. For example, in the professional market for power tools, Hilti was the leader with its top-of-the-line equipment. But foreign manufacturers with low cost structures had begun to undermine Hilti's core business by providing power tools that were adequate, but that cost far less. That forced Hilti to redefine itself and create a business model in which its customers can pay a single monthly fee and rent any of its high-end tools as needed for a job.